Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa,
Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh.
So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, depending on where you're tuning in from. Now we're back with the Sikh Parenting Podcast, episode 8.
Been a long time.
Yeah, around 6 months. But we're here, and what have you got to say?
A lot's been happening.
Lots have been happening. So this is probably the first time we've actually sat down together, maybe since we've done the last podcast.
Yeah.
And this is our alone time, remember?
Yeah. Kids are at the in-laws, so we're taking advantage.
Yeah. So you're privileged to be listening to us as we spend time together.
So we've always said that, you know, when we share our experiences, it's about not making ourselves look a certain way. It's just about telling the truth about what's been happening with us, and maybe that can go on to help someone else, because there's so many challenges in parenting and marriage
and Sikhi,
definitely, and all of those have certainly been challenged by us in the last 6 months, haven't they?
Definitely, 100% agree with you there. We agree on something.
Yeah.
So yeah, as you said, a lot's been happening, and you guys have probably seen from our social media that we're expecting baby number 4 to be joining us early 2020.
Ah.
Yeah, exactly. Drum roll. So, yeah, we've been here 3 times before, and now this is the 4th time. And as you can imagine, we were in a bit of shock with the news.
Big time.
Yeah, as an understatement, to say the least. But, you know, it's may not necessarily have been on our plan, but it's on God's plan.
Yeah, I mean, we follow a certain lifestyle, and we follow certain practices where we're not in control of these things. And, you know, so we certainly weren't in control of, you know, this child coming. I don't think you ever are, really, but we certainly weren't. But I think that the biggest thing for us was that we just wasn't expecting it to happen so quickly after having Corbin Singh.
Yeah, and it also presents a totally different new challenge for us, because, you know, we've had Mansimma, who's 10 years old, Guleen, who's 5 years old, big gap between them two. So we had to deal with the mental side of it, the emotional side of having 2 kids. And then now we're going to have to deal with the physical side of it more, because Gobind Singh is, you know, going to be 1.5, let's say, when the new baby's born. So we're going to have a lot of physical demands there with the two of them. So that's a totally new challenge as well to what we've had before.
And I think that another thing about when we found out we were pregnant is that with all the other pregnancies, we were just immediately very happy.
Yeah.
Where with this one, the immediate reaction wasn't happiness, was it? It was that shock.
Yeah.
That just really hit us and stayed with us for a few days, didn't it?
I think, to be honest, it was like, this was, for me, this was more acceptance that this has happened. And, you know, we go with this because on the other side, remember, I've always said it to you that, you know, I was the only boy in the family where, you know, my sisters were many years older than me. So I kind of grew up like Gobind Singh was going to grow up, but now he's going to have a little companion with him. So for me, that was something that I was thinking about. And when it kind of resonated with me, I started to envisage that, and that kind of changed it. But obviously, you know, you had some other things going on at the time, you know, which were really big things in your life and our life.
Yeah.
So for you to get that news on top of the other things that were going on, understandably, there was, you know, a lot of things going on for you.
Yeah, I think that around that time, it was really stressful. A lot of people said to me, oh, you know, you're not really active on social media anymore. And I really needed to take a big break even before I found out I was pregnant, because I was having a lot of heart palpitations at the time and heart investigations as to why this was happening, which was quite a scary thing, especially because my dad and a lot of my thai and Jatjir, my uncles, have had bypasses. And heart disease runs in our family. And then, you know, I had some results that said that I was having liver issues. And, you know, I'm the worst at looking at Google, as you know.
Dr. Google, yeah. You've been told off many times before.
I know. And every time I would type something in to do with my heart or my liver, and I was making myself worse. And I would wake up with these, and then I found out I was pregnant. So I was like, I'm having all these investigations on my health done.
Yeah.
And if there's something wrong with me, I'm not going to be able to do anything about it because I'm pregnant.
Yeah.
So there was all these things going through my head, and that kind of led to me having symptoms of anxiety, which was really scary for me.
Yeah.
Because even though I have my husband who works in mental health and has like good knowledge of this, I didn't know how to deal with it, because I've always been quite a control, like I've always been in control of myself and my feelings and, you know, how I feel and where I'm going and what I'm doing in life generally. And this waking up with this feeling of anxiety every day and not being in control of that was really, really hard on me. And it had huge impact on my physical and mental health for a while. One thing about me was that I was just really open about what was happening to me.
Yeah, you were.
I used to wake up in the morning and just say to you, I've woken up and I've got the feeling. Do you remember? I used to just say that to you. And you came home with lots of kind of, why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? And the only thing that actually helped me with it was exercise, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Every time I would exercise, then that feeling of anxiety would just go.
Yeah. And I think that was a big challenge for me, because like you said, I work in that industry and, you know, I had to be careful with what I said to you, because, you know, I didn't want to overwhelm you with stuff. And I, certain things I felt that I couldn't say, because I didn't want you to turn around and say, well, you know, this is what you do at work or whatever it is, that I didn't want it to be taken the wrong way. So I had to really let you lead on it and just, you know, try to support you as much as I could.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, for me, it was, I think it was just like fear that was leading a lot of it for me. And the reason for that was the fear of just kind of not knowing. And then I was coming up with all these really awful scenarios in my head. I've got three kids. I'm not going to be here for them. I've going to have something wrong with my heart. I'm going to have this. And my sister was brilliant. She used to say to me, you can't make assumptions. You've just got to wait until you get results. You've got to wait and see what's happening. It took a long time, didn't it, for me to come round and the tests as well to come through, and waiting for those months of, kind of what was to be. But I had a lot of support around me, didn't I?
Yes.
So I turned to a lot of gurusikhs that I know. So there was Doshin Benji from West London, and she really supported me a lot. And I kind of was really open about it with her. And I said, look, I'm having these feelings of anxiety. I'm really worried. And she was brilliant, because she was just like, you know, you got to embrace it, and you've got to kind of say to it, you've got to think of it like it's the bunj jor. Like, you know, that's how she was talking to me about it. And it was really, really helped me. Not that I'm here to talk about my mental health. I'm here to talk about, you know, finding out about this shock pregnancy. But, you know, that she was really, really brilliant. But then with another Benji that I turned to, Rubinda Benji, I remember speaking to her a couple of days after I found out I was pregnant, and I was outside my work in Holborn, and I was talking to her on the phone early, early morning. And, you know, she kept on saying to me, you know, you've got to just accept. You've just got to allow your body to accept that this is happening. And she also was kind of talking to me about, you know, a lot of kind of like a Sikhi perspective, and, you know, and reminding me that, you know, God is sending this child for a reason, like he has all the others, and I need to give myself time. And I was feeling so much guilt as well, because I was feeling like I know so many people who can't have children, and I'm feeling like, oh my God, I can't believe this has happened to me. And can I handle this? And can I financially handle this? And the one thing she said to me is, she said, just don't feel guilty, you know, just don't feel guilty about it. Just feel what you're feeling and let that pass. You know, I think over time it did, didn't it? I mean, we went to we went to a friend's house, and everything kind of changed there, didn't it? Yeah, so we went to a friend's house, and they were doctors, weren't they?
Yeah, we're fortunate to have such a strong support network.
Oh yeah, we were going to go to Rensabay, which was happening.
Yeah, in South Wales, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then we went there for dinner first, and I took all my results from the doctors, and I had them look at them and tell me what it all meant, because it just was jargon, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and that to be reassured like that yeah. that was a big changing point.
Yeah,
for you and us.
Yeah. So the first thing that happened was they looked at the heart results. So I had a seven-day ECG put on, and which was awful. And anyway, they had a look at that, and they kind of said that there was nothing showing up on there. And he kind of said something to me. He said, sometimes when you're worried about something, you become more aware of that thing.
100%.
And so he said, you've become so aware of your heart, you've probably given yourself palpitations.
It's like when you say, don't think of something, that's all you think about.
Yeah, so that's something that he said to me. He looked at my liver and he said, liver's fine. But then he also explained that with liver function, that if you've got an infection, it can show up in blood, as, you know, your liver function's not, you know, working at 100%. And so it might have been that my bloods were taken at a time when my body was fighting an infection or something, and then the liver was affected. And then when they took the bloods again, the liver showed that it was fine. So they were like, everything's fine. So then I kind of was like, still before 3 months, keeping it quite quiet, but trusted them so much. It's a brother and a sister. They're both doctors. So told both of them that, you know, expecting. And, you know, I remember Benji saying to me, I used to call her Dr. Benji. I remember Dr. Benji saying to me, you know, you don't seem happy about it. And I said, I kind of am. But I'm really struggling to get my head around it.
Yeah.
And she was saying, like, this is an amazing thing, and, you know, you're so blessed, and all the things that I know that I am, but, you know, the mind didn't want to accept those things. And I said, I guess I'm really scared because this is a very different pregnancy.
Yeah.
And she was like, in what way? And I said, well, in all my pregnancies, I'm really rottenly sick.
Yeah.
And I said, in this pregnancy, I am not having not one symptom. Does that mean there's something wrong with the baby? Does that mean there's something wrong with me? Does it, you know, there was all these things going through my head. And obviously with the heart and the liver and the anxiety and all these kinds of things, this was just an added thing. And she turned around and said to me, you've only like had a baby like just over a year ago.
Yeah.
So the body might be still holding all the hormones that caused the sickness. So they don't have to create all of those hormones again, which means that maybe that's why. And that just made so much sense to me.
Yeah, it was like a light bulb moment. Someone turned the light on.
Yeah, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do we?
No, of course not.
We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know, you know, I mean, we have scans, but they never can be 100%. But, you know, I think we're in a much better place now, aren't we?
But even at that point, we hadn't had the 13-week scan. Mm. So we were like, you know, whatever's going to happen is going to happen then. So we were trying to be accepting of the situation anyway, somewhat more relaxed. But like you said, you know, you weren't having any symptoms at the time.
Mm.
So that in itself was something totally new for us.
Mm, because I'm normally really sick and you're having to step up big time.
Exactly. And so that in itself, when that happens, it's kind of like, we know every time you're pregnant, you know, everything's going to go to pot in the house, literally. And, you know, I'm on duty 24/7. So
unless Arsenal's playing.
Yeah, well, I can put that on in the kitchen and clean the kitchen at the same time. Yeah.
But can I just say one thing? Like, we went to Dr. Benji and Bargie's house, and then we had dinner there, and they made these amazing homemade burgers. And then we went on to the Rensabay, and you were sitting on, it was at Havelock Road, and you were sitting on the side where the men are, and I was sitting next to you but on the women's side. And when it was about 11-12 o'clock at night, the kids were really tired apart from Gorbin Singh. So Mansimra and Gridleen had fallen asleep in the divan, And Gobind Singh was just in his little jawla, just going from person to person. And I was just like listening to the Gitan, doing Simran and being in the Sangat. And I just remember like looking over at Gobind Singh, going over to people. And he was just making everybody so happy. And, you know, and he was just like, people were so happy to see him. And I just thought like, we're so blessed to be in the presence of like this. Because because our lives could have been very, very different. And like, I'm not saying that something happened at that point, but I think that Guruji definitely did something, because when I woke up the next morning, I don't know, I just felt so okay with the pregnancy. It was unbelievable. Like, I don't know if it was what Dr. Benji said, or, you know, having them go through my results with me, giving me that reassurance, or being in the Sangat, just observing that, the Simran. I don't know. It just, the next morning, and I remember saying to you, you know what? I'm okay now.
Mm.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Whatever happens when we go to that scan, if there's something wrong with the baby, if the baby's there, the baby's not there, whatever it is, I'm going to be okay with it.
Yeah, that is exactly what you said, and I think things definitely changed from that point after that. And you know, we went to the scan, the first one, and you know, everything was, you know, okay. But the weird thing was that because things had been how they were, the time was just moving on without us even realizing, because normally, you know, some people experience it, we've definitely experienced it before, where time is standing still when you're pregnant. But this time it's just, there's so much going on, just don't know when the time's gone. And now that we find that, you know, we're over halfway through the pregnancy already, about the second scan, and you know, we're, you know, week by week is just flying by.
Yeah, I don't even feel like I'm pregnant. That's the crazy thing. And I think that in itself has presented a big problem between you and I.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, like I said, we struggled because, you know, I was so used to physically, you know, you literally, me coming home, us coming home from work, and you're going to sleep, and I'm managing everything. And to the point where now, obviously, I know there's been things going on with you, but physically you seem fine. And, you know, you weren't really talking about any symptoms with the baby. You're just saying you were tired. And for me, that was like, really, I could not manage the situation very well. I couldn't really handle it because I didn't know, you know, what to do, because everything felt normal.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to respond to that, because I was not used to things being normal. I was used to being kind of regimented that, okay, you're in this situation, you're pregnant, you know, you're sick, you know, you've got nausea, you've got these aches, you've got these pains, this is going on with the pregnancy, et cetera, et cetera. But this time it just, there was none of that at all.
So I've literally had to spell it out to you that,
yeah,
hello, I need help here.
Yeah.
I need you to step up. I need you to do this. I need you to sort the kids out. And it's been a bit of a hard slog. We're still not 100% there then, are we?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've taken things for granted because, like, you seem fine, and you know, and that's something that, you know, I've had a problem with. And like you said, now we've had to communicate better.
And I think the funny thing is because when Gobind Singh came along, I think our communication has always been really strong, and then Gobind Singh came along and I went back to work, and then all of a sudden life just became so busy, and our communication between each other has really suffered. So where I'm having to say things to you, I think a lot of it has been my fault as well, because, and I do say this to other Bibbiai as well, other women, is that men, they can't pick up on signs all the time. You have to have a very special guy who's going to pick up on those tiny little signs.
You're saying I'm not special?
You are special to me, but I'm just talking about a different type of breed of man. But for a lot of women, I always say to them, you have to literally spell it out what's going on with you, because a man will not pick up on those. Your mum will, your mother-in-law might, but your husband and men, they just don't see that, okay, this person's at a breaking point. This person is, you know, really, really struggling. Because just women just generally are very, very strong. And then, you know, physically and mentally, they, you know, they're really always pushing themselves to be better. So the man doesn't always pick up on the fact that something's going on here. I need to step up. I need to support this person a bit more. So for me, I feel like my communication was really weak, but that happened over time. I didn't realize it. And then at breaking point, I've kind of literally gone to you. Hello, I'm struggling here. I need you. I need you right now. And you've kind of gone, hang on, what?
So as you said, you know, having to literally spell it out to me, and that's something that we've spoken about as well then, and reflected on that, where you said that, you know, I'm great at kind of, you know, managing the situation and saving the day when, you know, you pull out a red flag and say you need help, and that you feel that you're about to a breaking point, and I can just come in and rescue the day. But, you know, as things are going along, you know, I'm not the greatest in spotting those signs and, you know, doing things as we go along to kind of stop you getting to that point. So that's something that I've had to manage and, you know, be very kind of aware of the situation. And you, like, as you said, it's just the small things, trying to help with the small things and prepare things as much as possible, rather than just thinking, you know, taking the kids to school and that's the job done. All the preparation that goes into that beforehand and, you know, afterwards and everything, such a big thing. It's a huge challenge.
Yeah, it's a big operation running a household and running a family. And, you know, it doesn't always come natural to things.
No, it doesn't at all.
I mean, to be honest with you, it doesn't really naturally come to me because I wasn't raised in a household where, you know, like some of my cousins, they were raised that you are going to get married, and so you need to know how to cook and you need to know how to clean. But my parents didn't really raise me that way. They were very kind of outgoing and were, you know, my mum never really taught me how to cook. She didn't really, you know, kind of push us to clean or anything like that. She, you know, just managed everything herself and three jobs, which is crazy when I think about it now, because now I'm in a position where I'm doing a job and running a house and looking after kids, and I'm kind of going, hello, I need some help here. So for me, it didn't really come naturally, but I enjoy it, and I kind of get that it's like seva for my family, but you know, yeah, like you said, at breaking point, you know, you can feel extremely unloved when you know you are pregnant and doing a full-time job and traveling into central London and then having to come home and cook and clean and just people just won't pick up their socks from the floor.
You're talking about me.
I'm talking about something really, really small, but in the whole grand scheme of thing, it could be the tipping point for someone who's on the edge. and I say it with a giggle, but really it can be that small thing that can really just make someone go, you couldn't even pick that up. You know, even with Mansima, like I say to her, you walked over that 10 times, but you couldn't even pick it up on your way and put it where it goes. And that can make, you know, and your hormones are going everywhere as well as a pregnant woman, you know? So it's like, it's an ongoing battle.
Yeah. Quick wins. So like you said, just picking up things and, you know, putting the lids on things and putting things back where they go once you use them, right?
Yeah.
So they're the golden rules.
Yeah.
That we're trying to follow.
Yeah.
And it is, mate, I'm sure it's making a difference.
Putting the milk back in the fridge so it doesn't go off all day.
Yeah, I don't do that.
You have done it once.
Yeah, I'm sure you've done it more than once. But
me?
You would always say that it's okay because I'm the one who cleans it up in the end anyway. So I'm allowed to do it.
Well, I wasn't going to say that now, yeah. But you are right.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then I'll be like, okay, then fair enough, or what have you. But yeah, I mean, this is, like you said, it's been really different this time. Sometimes, you know, it's been, you know, maybe even a week or so before we've actually spoken about stuff, as in communicated that, you know, this stuff is going on.
Do you remember when we had this conversation? I think it was just after the 3-month scan. You were sitting on the floor in the lounge and I was sitting on the sofa and the kids were doing something. And you said, I've got so much guilt.
I do remember that now, actually, because, you know, it was a similar situation to what you mentioned before, where we're so blessed we got an opportunity to have another child, you know, and, you know, we haven't mentioned it at all to anyone now, but it's a good time to say it, that when we got married, we said we wanted to have four kids.
Oh, and apparently when I was younger, I used to say to my mum and dad, I wanted to have four children as well. Not that I remember that, but.
So, you know, you say it and, you know, we believe in that. The things that you say, they can come true.
Yeah.
You know, or something you wish in your mind, when, you know, that's a form of doing a das, right?
Yeah.
And Guru Sahib can just bless you with that. Waiguru can just give it to you. It's a small thing for Waiguru to give us these things.
Mm.
But we found ourselves in the situation where we've been presented with this and I'm not feeling anything, you know, because, you know, like I said, you're norm, you're supposedly looking normal. Everything's as it is.
Yeah. Because before I got pregnant, I lost loads of weight.
Yeah.
Because I was like working out loads. I had high blood pressure as a part of the whole heart thing that was going on, so I was like determined to not go into any kind of pill. So I was like working out, I changed my lifestyle, I was really looking after myself, and I lost loads of weight as a result. So when I got pregnant, usually I put weight on really quickly, and I'm really big as a pregnant lady, always have been, but with this time no one even knew I was pregnant.
That's true.
And I was able to hide it, whereas before I've been really struggled to hide it.
Yeah.
Didn't
think of that.
So, you know, that obviously had a bearing on you too, where you're saying,
yeah, physically I couldn't see any different,
right,
either with your shape and what have you. And you're normally you're getting out maternity clothes early on, and we're going to buy them. None of that was happening.
No.
You know, the biggest thing for me was, you know, I always, you know, used to have so much morning sickness, so much nausea.
Mm.
So I could just always hear that sound in my ears of you being like that. And then that was always the thing that always used to get me before, about you being pregnant, that I always be like, okay, yep, always, you know. But that was just not happening this time, because I expected these things to happen, and for a long time we couldn't work out why that was. And you mentioned the kind of, you know, the light shining on the situation where we found out why that is. And it all began to make sense. But, you know, it is still a challenge. You know, realizing that we are expecting baby number four, because like I said, you know, we're not seeing these things in front of our eyes that we have done before. It's totally different, new experience. And with the kids as well, trying to, you know, say to them that you're pregnant, and especially with Mansima being old enough to know these things, trying to talk to her and convince her to be on board with things in the house. And, you know, Gurleen, you know, we've had our troubles there, because, you know, Mansima's the oldest, Gurleen Singh's the youngest, and now she knows that there's another baby coming along, and she's got that insecurity. She's playing up sometimes. She wants the attention. Physically, I'm managing Gurleen Singh, because, you know, it's harder for you, because you are a lot more tired in this pregnancy.
Yeah, I am.
Especially
with work and stuff.
So these are the challenges, and all of these challenges on the outside, they present internal battles as well, that you're dealing with. And, you know, you think, can you do this? You know, what's coming up? You're already envisaging what's happening. It's already with three children, and then there's going to be a fourth along the way.
Yeah, where are we going to fit them?
Exactly. That's a whole different conversation.
Yeah, you know, financially, how are we going to manage? How are we going to fit in our house together? You know, all these kinds of things. And I just kind of, I think a lot of my guilt was around, you know, the fact that I'm supposedly a practicing Sikh, and, you know, I'm meant to have really, really strong faith in God and God's plan, and God's thrown this situation at me, and I'm kind of not accepting it, and I'm not acting the way I should act, basically. And it's a big wake up call in terms of my level of spirituality, really, because if I was extremely spiritual, then I would be, or where I would want to be, I would kind of be accepting it. But that's not happened for me in the time frame that, you know, one would expect that to happen. Who knows what that time frame is, to be honest. But But I mean, we've got there in the end, and I'm really thankful to God for this challenge, because in the whole of this situation, the biggest thing for me is that I've probably done so much like Bart and Simran in this time, because the fear and the unknowing and the anxiety has led me to become closer to God. And I think that's why Guruji says that, you know, pain is the medicine.
It's a remembrance, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, my ardas has just become so much more heartfelt, I feel. And doing a sage bard, which I don't do as much as I should, but turning to sage bard has really helped me. And then there's one particular Shabbat about accepting God's will, and I've just kind of been repeating that over and over again, and that's really helped me. I don't know, what kind of things have helped you?
Those, seeing you like that has helped me as well, you know, because it's, you know, even though you've been struggling with things, seeing you get the strength and acceptance from Guruji, like you have been, has been really, it's been massive for me. And you mentioned it before about the, you know, our support network. And I'd never, you know, this is my take on it. When you used to say to me, you're speaking to this person, speaking to that person, as you mentioned, Doshan Benji, Rabinda Benji, or whoever else you spoke to, I was getting a massive boost from that, because I'm like, you're talking to good people here, and they're telling you the good things, and they're supporting you, and they're saying things that I can't necessarily say to you as well.
That's so true.
And that was massive for me. I was like, always, you know, that would help me a lot. And that's the thing about a support network. We're very blessed to have that. And we know, in literally, we can phone whoever about whatever's going on, and we'll get that support. Some people don't have that.
But there's a big problem as well in our community when people necessarily do have that, but they just don't open up and reveal these things, because they're worried that people are going to think, oh, you're a bad person for not appreciating this pregnancy. You're a bad person for, you know, not kind of accepting God's will. And we're so worried about what people, how people are going to perceive us, that we allow that to hold us back from getting the help and the support that we need. And that is what Sangat is. Sangat is. And people have come to me for support, and I've done my very, very best to not make judgments about their situation, but just try to help them how I would want to be helped. And I just feel like me going to certain individuals, I mean, like, you know, by the Sam Singh, he has been a huge support. And he's said, you know, a lot of it, because I was talking to him a lot about the anxiety, and I was saying, like, I'm really worried, because I know that he had done like mental health first aid and was aware of all this kind of stuff. And I was saying, am I going to become suicidal because I'm having this? And he was talking about the stigmas around, you know, the media now, and how they really, really portray mental health in a certain way. And I think you even mentioned this to me as well. And you're saying, you know, you're talking about very, very far end of a spectrum. But it's all kind of bunched together because of media, which really put things into perspective, which helped.
Well, that's where everybody's going for their knowledge. The media. And you know, you talking, even, you know, this, like you said, this is not a conversation necessarily about mental health, but obviously it overlaps. Even you mentioning certain things surrounding anxiety, and you giving your own story, is helping people, because that is a real account of somebody having experienced it, as opposed to something being, you know, made up in the media or exaggerated.
Definitely. I just feel like overall this experience has taught me a lot, and I just, every experience that we've had, really, Guruji's always kind of just saying, "Hi, I'm here.
Yeah.
Don't forget me," you know. And he's just doing it again, and just got to try our best not to fail.
Yeah, you know, it's not going to be easy, but. You know, we're learning these things as we go along. Like, you know, if you said to me before, you know, someone's, you know, parent of four, they've got four kids, you think like they'd know it all, right? But this time is just, you know, totally different situation, you know, baby number four.
So before we kind of close this podcast off, I was thinking that it'd be a really good idea to talk about reactions that we had when we decided to tell people that we were having a fourth child.
Yeah, I mean, as it goes on, like, you know, when you first have your first child, you know, it's different, you know, response to, and then the second, and then the third, and now we're on the fourth. But the third one for us, it was that was, I think, more of a different reaction, because obviously everybody expects you to have two kids. And then when you say you're having a third, it's like, okay, well, wow, you know, that's a big thing. Are you sure about that? Is that the right thing to do? So with the fourth, you know, it was just another continuation on from that. I mean, you know, obviously people say congratulations and things like that. I mean, naturally, you know, everyone's happy about the news.
I think we'd be really, it would be really irresponsible of us to not kind of say that, unfortunately, in our community, there is this kind of gender bias where, you know, people already knew we had two children. So when we got pregnant with the third, people didn't see that as maybe a negative thing, because like, this is your chance to have a boy now, even though our thinking wasn't like that. Certainly the older generation, they were thinking that way. So they were like, this is your chance. This is your chance now to have that boy.
And then now for the fourth, it's like a win-win situation. Doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
It's a boy or a girl, and it doesn't matter because you've already got one son.
Yeah. For them.
Yeah, of course.
Definitely. I think, I mean, Simra's reaction was telling me, so she was like one of the first people that told.
She finds out, she seems to have a sixth sense for these things.
Yeah.
Every time, you know, we're having a conversation.
So all the mamas out there, if you're like pregnant and you come across Simra, she's got to just know.
Yeah, she just knew straight away.
Like, she started crying, didn't she?
Yeah, and I remember. She got so emotional.
Yeah, she's so sensitive. And then I remember telling my mum, and I was dying to tell my mum because I was dying for that kind of that hug from your mum that you need when you're, and she did hug me like that, but I just remember really crying, and she was like, why are you crying? And I said, because like, I don't think I can do it. And she was like, you can do it. You've got us. Do you remember sitting in the garden? So, I mean, overall we've had quite positive response. But one thing that I've really, really wanted to highlight is that our parents come from a generation where, you know, they're born in India or Africa or Malaysia, where they have lots of siblings.
Yeah.
You know, birth control is not practiced still, or, you know, people in heat or whatever they say. They, you know, my dad's one of 13, you know, my mum's one of 8. You know, your dad comes from a fairly big family as well. And what I found really, really shocking is that our parents have moved over here, and I don't know if it's because of financially or just because of, you know, they've just become more westernized, but then they've gone on to just having, you know, the kind of the two or three kids. So when we were saying to people that, you know, we're having a fourth child, the older generation were a bit like, that's a bit much.
Yeah, because, you know.
You know, and it's shocking because it's like, hello, you're one of 13. You're one of like 8, you know.
But then some people have turned around and said to me, oh, I'm one of 4 and I'm one of whatever like that. So
the funniest thing that people have said to me, even someone yesterday in the lobby at work said to me, oh, the transition from 1 to 2 is the hardest. After that, it doesn't matter how many you got rolling around. Which I thought was quite funny.
You said that, but when we had number 3, I really struggled.
Yeah.
You know, but now, like I said, I've made a little joke to say I've got my own 5-a-side football team now. And yeah, you're standing on the sidelines being the coach and giving us the instructions.
Yep, that's right.
So yeah, there'll be 5 of us.
I'll be doing a better job than some managers out there right now.
Right. Not mention any names.
I'm not going to say anything.
No, don't mention any names.
But what I was going to say is that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, we've still got a long way to go. And, but for now, I think it's just about sharing the fact that we're having a fourth child. We weren't expecting it. It was a huge shock. We didn't have the reaction that most people would have when they find out that they're pregnant and wanting a child.
Yeah.
But, you know, with Guruji's kirpa, with God's grace, we've got through it together again.
Yep.
And let's see what the future holds.
Yeah, to the future.
But if there is anybody out there, any mums out there, you have found out that you're pregnant and you've faced certain, or you're facing these kinds of dilemmas that we've shared with you today, don't let the guilt eat you up, because it was when I let go of the guilt that I realised and started to really embrace what was actually happening and really getting in touch with how I was feeling. And always talk to people around you.
Yeah, and if there's any guys out there that are, you know, where they're partner is pregnant and they're expecting and they're having their own struggles and they're facing their own challenges and their own battles, then obviously, you know, it's really important that you try to communicate with your partner and just actually assess what's going on and maybe what you need to do and certain sacrifices you may need to make with your time and your energy just for that moment, just to, you know, kind of step up in that role and be that person. And then, you know, later on you can carry on doing whatever it is that you do. But at that time, you know, that's your kind of your primary concern.
So we hope you found this episode engaging and insightful. And we hope that our experience has helped you to learn a bit more.
Yeah, and by the way, it feels great to be back. Really excited about all the shows that we've got coming up and the guests that we're going to have lined up for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you very much for listening. Take care, everybody. Bye.